All right, well, I have never been known as one of the smartest guys, maybe a smart aleck, right? You know, or whatever. There's probably worse words that you can use behind that, but I thought I would kind of study wisdom and kind of the, you know, difference between human wisdom versus godly wisdom. And, you know, what better person, when you think of wisdom, who do you think of? Solomon, right? And, you know, I definitely will be going into that, but I looked up one article I wanted to read to you guys real quick. It says, earthly wisdom versus godly wisdom. Ecclesiastes 1, verse 17. And I applied my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceived that this also is but a striving after wind. It goes on to say, that was a Bible verse. It says, we all have a desire to be wise. We like to understand how things work, to be able to answer questions, to make decisions, and to share what we know. We seek and search out wisdom and knowledge of the things of this world, just as Solomon did. However, Solomon discovered that wisdom under the sun, apart from God, left him unfulfilled and discontented. In 1 Kings 3, which we'll get to today, we learn that Solomon asked God for wisdom for his people. Instead of requesting material riches, comfort, or pleasure, Solomon desired to advance God's kingdom through wise leadership. Because God was so pleased with Solomon's request, he granted it and gave him much more. Solomon began his royal reign as the wisest man on earth with great wealth and honor. At some point in his life, Solomon grew to love God's blessings more than God himself. So that was kind of his downfall or his mistake there. His life began to revolve around his wealth, pleasure, and adoration. He elevated his earthly wisdom above godly wisdom. Solomon forgot that it is the wisdom of God that answers our every need and gives us true perspective on life's deepest question. In James chapter 3, verse 17, it says, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Earthly wisdom appeals to the senses and the emotions. In contrast, the wisdom that is from God reflects Him. While earthly wisdom says, always follow your heart, godly wisdom tells us in Jeremiah chapter 17, 9, that the heart is deceitful above all things. Amen. While earthly wisdom says, seeing is believing, while earthly wisdom says seeing is believing, I can't say believing. So we've established that at this point.
Third time's a charm.
Okay, well, maybe I'll read this again. Okay. While earthly wisdom says seeing is believing.
Nice.
Wow. Okay. I will tell you, in our vows, I did say, and all I had to repeat after was Brother Steve, yeah. And he said, you know, Brad, say, with this ring I be wed. I said, with this wing, you know. I don't know, I was a wasly rabbit. Maybe it's nerves, I don't know what it is. When you're in front of people, you just start messing
up. It's a challenge, yeah.
Brad, that last believing you said was the best time I've ever heard believing said.
Was it really nice? Okay, it was perfect. All right, so while earthly wisdom says seeing is believing, godly wisdom tells us in John chapter 20, verse 29, that blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. While earthly wisdom says love your family and your friends, godly wisdom tells us in Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 to 47, to also love your enemies and bless them. While earthly wisdom says there are many ways to God, godly wisdom tells us in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, there is only one way to God, Jesus Christ. In James chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. God desires to give his divine wisdom to his children. All other types of learning are valuable, but limited unless built upon the knowledge of the Lord himself. To gain God's wisdom, we must pray for it, while studying and living out God's word. So many distractions in this world threaten to pull us away from God. We are constantly bombarded by viewpoints, images, and ideals that contradict those in the Bible. It is easy to find our hearts strained from God toward ideas and belief systems that sound impressive and appealing. Believers must remain diligent and steadfast in seeking God and keeping His wisdom forefront in our minds. We may have to stand against the wisdom of the world, the advice of our well-meaning family and friends, and battle our own self-seeking desires in order to be solely led by God. God's wisdom gives us focus and direction when we have to choose between what looks good, what feels good, and what is good. So anyway, let's go on, start on wisdom. And as you all have mentioned, the wisest person in the world, not only back then, but as we read in Scripture, ever will be. God made that promise to Solomon. So it's actually, you all may have found it more places than me, but I found it in two places in the Old Testament. If someone could turn to 1 Kings 3 and read for us verses 1 through 15. But then if someone else could turn to 2 Chronicles 1 and read 6 through 13. Basically the same thing about Solomon, but I just wanted to point it out in two different scriptures.
Read 1 through 15?
Yeah, 1 through 15. You got it, Steve?
Yeah. Solomon made an alliance with Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and married one of his daughters. He brought her to live in the city of David until he could finish building his palace and the temple of the Lord and the wall around the city. At that time, the people of Israel sacrificed their offerings at local places of worship, for a temple honoring the name of the Lord had not yet been built. Solomon loved the Lord and followed all the decrees of his father David, except that Solomon too offered sacrifices and burned incense at the local places of worship. The most important of these places of worship was at Gibeon. So the king went there and sacrificed 1,000 burnt offerings. That night, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream, and God asked, "What do you want? Ask, and I will give it to you." Solomon replied, "You showed great and faithful love to your servant, my father David, because he was honest and true and faithful to you. And you have continued to show this great and faithful love to him today by giving him a son to sit on the throne. Now, O Lord, my God, you have made me a king instead of my father David, but I am like a little child who doesn't know his way around. And here I am in the midst of your own chosen people, a nation so great and numerous they cannot be counted. Give me an understanding heart so that I can govern your people well and know the difference between right and wrong. For who by himself is able to govern this great people of yours?" The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for wisdom. So God replied, "Because you have asked for wisdom in governing my people with justice and have not asked for a long life or wealth or the death of your enemies, I will give you what you asked for. I will give you a wise and understanding heart such as no one else has ever had or ever will have. And I will also give you what you did not ask for, riches and fame. No other king in all the world will be compared to you for the rest of your life. And if you follow me and obey my decrees and my commands as your father David did, I will give you a long life." Then Solomon woke up and realized it had been a dream. He returned to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Lord's Covenant, where he sacrificed burnt offerings and peace offerings. Then he invited all his officials to a great banquet.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it. The first thing I want to point out is Solomon's humility. You know, he had mentioned, I think it was in verse 7, "But I'm only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties." I had read, you know, how old Solomon was at that time, roundabout or whatever, and he was technically an adult, a grown man. He was around 20. He was young, but to kind of humble himself of, "Hey, I'm like a little child," you know, even though he was 20, you know, that was showing humility, you know. As in Scripture says, you know, God said to me, "Hey, you can ask for anything. Riches, you know, defeating your enemies, you know, this and that, long life." But he, again, this was using spirit-led, godly wisdom, you know, type thing versus human, you know. And godly is more spirit-led, more you know, unselfish. Human is probably more flesh-led and more self-centered and selfish type thing. The one thing that I also wanted to point out is that God's promise was not only that he'd be the wisest then and there, but in the future as well. You know, he would be, and I don't remember what verse that was. But if someone could also read, and I think it will kind of reiterate this again, just kind of the same thing. It's 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verses 6 through 13. 2 Chronicles chapter 1.
I can read that. 6 through 13?
Yes, please.
And Solomon went up there to the bronze altar before the Lord, which was at the tent of meeting, and offered 1,000 burnt offerings on it. And that night God appeared to Solomon and said to him, "Ask what I shall give you." And Solomon said to God, "You have shown a great and steadfast love to David my father, and have made me king in his place. O Lord God, let your word to David my father be now fulfilled, for you have made me king over a people as numerous as the dust of the earth. Give me now wisdom and knowledge to go out and come in before this people, for who can govern this people of yours, which is so great?" God answered Solomon, "Because this was in your heart, and you have not asked for possessions, wealth, honor, or the life of those who hate you, and have not even asked for a long life, but have asked for wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may govern people over whom I have made you king. Wisdom and knowledge are granted to you. I will also give you riches, possessions, and honor, such as none of the kings had who were before you, and none after you shall have the like." So Solomon came from the high place at Gibeon from before the tent of meeting to Jerusalem, and he reigned over Israel.
The one thing I want to point out too is that, you know, he had promised, you know, if Solomon had followed, you know, as his father David, you know, in God's commands, that he would also get long life. Well, I'd read Solomon, I think, passed around 55 years old, you know, or what have you. Yeah, so but we know that he didn't follow. He married, multiple, you know, ladies, and they were from all these other different kingdoms. And I think it was, you know, and they worshiped other gods and kind of led him, you know, astray as well. And just, he was using his humanly wisdom versus his godly wisdom at that point. I also read that, and I think most of us already knew this, but it's thought that Solomon wrote most all the Proverbs, and I think Ecclesiastes and Song of Solomon, I believe. And with talking about wisdom, I thought we would go into Proverbs a little bit as well. So if someone wouldn't mind reading verses, go to chapter 1 in Proverbs. And if you could read 7 through 9.
I got you.
Okay.
Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. For they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck.
Thanks, Brother King. I like that very first verse. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fools despise wisdom and instruction. So, fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord. So again, I think focusing on God, focusing on, you know, spirit and that stuff, that is the beginning. You know, more God focus, less self-focus. That's what's getting you, you know, that's the beginning of, I think, knowledge and wisdom and things like that, and fear of the Lord. So.
You know, when I had two brothers, one a year older and one a year younger. And growing up, my mom was a Sunday school teacher our whole lives. And she always taught us when we was little. And we grew up on a farm, so we was always doing something mischievous down in the barn or out in the field, just into something. And she would tell me and my brothers, "You guys, I don't know what you're going to do, but God sees and knows everything." She truly put the fear of the Lord in us as kids. I mean, like, she goes, "What'd you guys do?" And we're like, "We weren't doing anything, you know?" And she goes, "Yeah, you were." I mean, she probably caught us. And she goes, "Well, you know what? You can tell me a little white lie or fib," but she goes, "You know, God God knows exactly what you've done, and he's keeping a record of it. And I'm telling you, I've lived with that my whole life. But you know, hey, even though our parents or maybe our bosses, people who are friends, it doesn't matter who, if we are deceiving or doing something that's not right, I'll say, God knows that. Whether we think they do, my mom or whoever, fear of the Lord, it will put you on the right track. It put me, you know, not that I didn't do everything right. Trust me, I'm still doing wrong. But you know, as a child, understanding the fear of the Lord and then the blessings too, you know, she also taught us the opposite. But, you know, it's...
Thank you, Charlie. Did someone read Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 15?
Is that 1 through 15?
Yes, please.
My son, if you accept my word and store my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. The Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless, for he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair in every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men and from men whose words are perverse, who leave the straight paths to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perseverance of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways.
Thank you. Thank you, Dave. So again, it once again mentioned here in chapter 2, the fear of the Lord. If you noticed that as well. And you know, it's like looking for wisdom, or godly wisdom, that is like searching for silver or hidden treasure. You know, brings that up as well. Just how precious and how, I guess, how much that is worth, you know what I'm saying, is that, which is worth more than gold or silver or any of that. Would someone mind reading Proverbs 4, chapter 4, verse 1 through 7.
Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight. For I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. How far?
Seven.
Do not forsake her, and she will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom, and whatever you get insight.
Thanks, Zach.
ESV is very modern in comparison to Dave's. So I was reading this, and I'm like, get insight. It sounds like an advertisement for wisdom.
Yeah, my says the beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom. Though it costs all of you, you have, get understanding. I think it's just basically, from what I'm hearing, that it's just, it just emphasizes or re-emphasizes the importance of seeking or getting, you know, godly wisdom. I keep trying to insert that, you know, because there is a difference.
So how do we get that?
I think, you know, personally, well, I mean, I don't let everybody.
I mean, I just a vet, but I didn't mean you personally. Just in general. How do we get? We get it through studying the Word.
Yeah,
through reading, through praying.
Correct.
Yeah. Through asking God to open our eyes to His Word and His Spirit.
Yeah. And surrounding yourself too, I think, with godly people in the church, you know, are sound as well, receiving godly wisdom, because I think that. Mm-hmm. Builds on itself too. If you keep those people in your circle,
Birds of like feathers flock together.
Exactly.
And I think in the verses here that it does talk about, you know, basically a person, it says like a foolish person, they don't want any instruction or direction type thing, versus the person that, as you were saying, Zach, that is, you know, maybe has some godly wisdom, is more acceptable or susceptible, yeah, to instruction, yeah, or to correction, or to, you know what I'm saying, hey, you know, put your arm around me, hey, you know, Brother Brad, you know, you probably shouldn't have said that, you know, type thing, or shouldn't have done that, you know what I'm saying, yeah, or whatever. If I'm foolish, I'm probably going to argue with you. I'm probably going to be argumentative.
You're probably very materialistic if you're foolish, because your focus moves away from God and what we're truly to do here on this earth, spread the good news, be a good person, walking as Jesus, to about me, my possessions, what I own. I'm smarter than you. Look what I've got. I've built this. Look what I've done. You know, it goes, instead of to God and Christ, it goes to me.
Yeah, it's me, you know, focused versus own, Christ focused.
You hear that? We hear that old saying, and for years it didn't sink in on me. You know, I'm my own God. It's like, how can you, what do you mean by that? Because I just, you know, I always knew who God was from a little kid. But you, I hear that tongue. And as you mature and you see the world and you see people living within the world, and they do become their own God. They don't rely on Jesus Christ, the God we know. They're self-built, self-reluctant, and they think that they've conquered, only to come crashing down if they do not come to the knowledge of Christ.
You hear the old, my own God, you hear the my own truth.
Yeah,
you heard that too as well. Yeah. And this is the only truth, right? I mean, yeah, this is it.
But the world tells you, you can make yourself, you can be the authority.
Right.
You know,
and that there is no absolute truth. It's whatever your truth is, whatever, you know. Type
makes it a lot easier to judge people too. I mean, you think that you're so smart and you've got it all figured out, and that person over there, man, they're just sinning and they're doing all these bad things, you know. And when you don't have that knowledge of God to realize that, you know, you're as bad or worse of a sinner than anybody else, when that knowledge comes to you, that wisdom, you know, you suddenly start to realize that, you know, that person needs to be prayed for, not judged, not put down. Yeah. Not hated or demeaned, but prayed for, helped.
In other words, if I'm pointing a finger at you, Steve, I still got three pointing back at me, right? You know, and it's or what was the verses in, was it Matthew? I think of, you know, I'm more concerned about that little speck that I see in your eye, and here I'm walking around with a telephone pole, right? You know, or plank, I think it said. But I like telephone pole better. You know, it's kind of.
I think about Tink's example he gave a month or two back about the cliff. If you see one of your fellow Christians walking towards the cliff, you know, if you put yourself in an echo chamber of fools, they're just going to let you walk right off that cliff and not make a move. But if they reach out and grab you, sure, they might yank you a little bit. It might hurt, but it's going to hurt a whole lot less
than falling off the cliff. Yeah.
Exactly. So you surround yourself with godly people who aren't afraid to contradict, point out when things are going on, when they see you have done that bad. They might yank you back a little bit, but you need that. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're surrounded by,
like I said, echo cheering you on.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah. I'm taking a New Testament class right now, and we were on campus yesterday talking about it, and we're going to attempt to go through the book of Matthew, but we only got to like chapter 5. But he talked about the Sermon on the Mount it's wisdom literature. So, I mean, he was explaining genre, and of course it's narrative, but it's also wisdom literature. And you think about lust, you know, you shall not commit adultery, but I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery. So we know that actually committing adultery is, it's got worse consequences than just lusting after people, but also we must encourage one another. You think about adultery as a wildfire. Think about lust as just an ember burning, you know, and you got to stomp that ember out before it becomes
A wildfire,
because it can grow. So, you know, just simply joking about the way a woman looks. I'm not joking about it, but talking about the way a woman looks to a friend or something, you know, it needs to go even as far as saying, no, we don't need to talk about that. You know, just this is
kind of
it's keeping us from danger.
Right.
As Christians.
Extinguishing that before it ever can stomp it out, like you said.
Right? I just like the thought of thinking of the Sermon on the Mount as wisdom literature. It's like it's warnings for our warnings and praises for our for God's glory and for our growth as wise believers.
Well, yeah. What is it's godly wisdom. Mm-hmm. What is that Sermon on the Mount, like you said, the whole thing is definitely. I completely agree. Would someone mind reading, I can't really read my own writing, Proverbs 9, I think, chapter 9, verses 7 through 12.
Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. If you scoff, you alone will bear it.
Thank you, Jane. We heard fear of the Lord again, right? Mm-hmm. We heard that example that I couldn't remember what verses it was. I had read several, but where, you know, the foolish man, you can't really, the mocker or the scoffer, or, you know, can't really give direction or instruction. But the wise, the righteous, the, you know what I'm saying, they're more susceptible. Is that right? Or susceptible.
Susceptible.
Yeah, okay, gotcha. To instruction. You know, to stuff like that. With some of my reading, this is the last Proverbs, and I've got some other verses here, but Proverbs 13, verse 10.
By insolence comes nothing but strife, but with those who take advice is wisdom.
Thank you, brother. All right, Hosea chapter 14, verse 9.
Looking for my table of contents page there, Brad.
Yeah, I've got it here, but I cheated. I'm on a phone.
You're on the phone, yeah.
That's 14:9, right?
Hosea 14:9.
Do you want to read it?
Sure.
Go for it.
Who is wise and he shall understand these things? Prudent and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein.
All right. Someone read Matthew 7. Verses 24 through 27. So Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27.
This is Jesus speaking. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it.
So where does our foundation need to be?
That's on the rock.
Jesus. Yeah, it's a rhetorical question, obviously. But yeah, no, I mean, that answered it right there, right then and there. First Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 through 16.
Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age, or of the rulers of this age, who are doomed to pass away. but we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the Spirit of that person, which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
That's my kids. That's how they go up and downstairs.
I thought you would refer to these verses.
No. I'm sorry. That's how it sounds. I knew it was my kids before.
I was greatly confused. Sorry, Jamie. Yeah.
What scripture verses?
1 Corinthians 2, 6 through 14.
6 through 16.
Yes. 1 Corinthians.
1 Corinthians chapter 2.
Your sons are very wise.
Sure they are.
Once again, humanly or earthly wisdom versus godly or spiritually led wisdom. Thank you, Zach. Those were some really good verses.
That one makes me think of the Jehovah's Witnesses. We've been kind of bombarded with them at the house over the last year or so, and I even keep getting personal letters from one of them. I get them, and I think I need to write them back or contact them, and then it drives me nuts until I do. So this week I got another one, and I was like, okay, I'm going to kind of go through word for word what she's saying and compare it to what I know and biblically and all of that. And I got into, like, they don't believe in the Holy Spirit and this, that, and the other. And that all of that there makes me think of what I was kind of pulling out of what she was saying in her letter and what I learned about them. And I did write her back and knocked it down, but in a kind way. Like, this is what the Bible actually says. But their Bible's totally different, too. Like, it was written by men more present than the men that we know of from the times of Jesus. Just very weird stuff that they think and believe. And I don't know if it'll get to her, if she'll even read it, or if it's going to go in the trash. But I thought, somebody's got to say something.
I don't know if I told you all, but I worked
with
for a company. Mm-hmm. Well, not just one. I mean, the entire company.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so my brother, he teased me. He said, Brad, do they slide the watchtower under your office door? Or do you pretend like you're not there when they knock? You know, why not? This is at the door. I'm like, nah, I don't do any of that.
Yeah, we spend a manifest door in tubes. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. Yes. She opened pairs.
It was always, it was funny. I know, and I may have told you guys this one time, but it was around Easter, and they do a memorial service. They don't celebrate Easter because, Easter Bunny and all this stuff, things. And, but, John, the one guy I was talking with, they read in Peter, was it 1 Peter, be a new heaven, new earth, things like that. And, so they believe that there's heaven and 144,000 and, earth and all this kind of stuff. And I looked at John, and it was around Easter, and I said, John, I said, can I ask you something? I said, Christ was crucified between two thieves. I said, one had mocked him, and one said, I believe, type thing, and had faith. And I said, do you remember what Christ said to him, specifically, And he said, today, you will be with me in paradise. And I said, well, what did that mean to you? Well, I think that was a figure of speech. Okay. 1,000 years, you'll be with me in paradise. You know what I'm saying? What does that mean to
Where
you?
Where is that?
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't care how we do it, or how you want to. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm not saying.
Oh, you weren't going to say. I thought you were going to really say. But, you know, basically, I mean, that to me, you know, says it right then and there. And I think he was trying to explain to me that, you know, Christ will be able to go between, you know, earth and, you know, this and that. And I just was like, well, you know, we're going to have to disagree on that one, you know, type thing. So, but anyway, I think when I did that, they no longer were witnessing or on the kind of stuff.
Shortly after that, Brad was looking for a job.
That's why I was eventually canned, probably. Believe it or not, I'm working with a couple other Jehovah's Witnesses. Again, though, I can't seem to get away. I don't know if that's a ministry for me.
I think that's a minister. God just keeps putting you.
He keeps putting me right there, and he wants me to. He's put me right there.
It's a hard. They're hard people to witness to, though, because they're already set in their belief. Mm-hmm. It's like trying to witness to a Muslim that really studies, you know. Because they take it seriously, so
they also train them to combat the things that you're going to bring.
Yes,
up. Like it's very very well known.
They're right.
The opposition.
Oh
is.
Yeah,
and so
no,
they,
you're
they
exactly
train
right.
Them for
they really are. They really right. are.
Another tough one is the Mormons.
Yeah, and well dressed. Yeah,
it's hard to convince a Mormon otherwise than their stance on Joseph Smith showing up out west.
Well, guys, I know we're a little bit past time. I did have one more verse, if you wouldn't mind. It's James 3, verses 13 through 18. And then we'll close in prayer.
Say 13 to 18?
Yes, James 3, 13 to 18.
If you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness.
All right, well, that's all I have. Sorry I went over. Brother Troy, do you mind closing us in prayer?
Sure. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time we've come together. Father, we just ask you bless each and every one here in this class and every class and everyone that enters these doors today. Father, we just lift Tink up as he's going to present your message. Father, we just pray that you give him the words and the wisdom today to connect with us in the congregation. Father, we just ask if there's a lost one be with us today, Father, that today will be the day they come to the saving grace and accept and acknowledge you as Lord and Savior. Father, we just ask you to pick up these people on our prayer list. Father, you know their needs far more than we do. God, we just ask you to be with them, be with their families, Lord, guide and direct us. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.